Well, this morning we are going to finish the seven ways in which Jesus has been revealing himself to his disciples, the way he's been revealing himself to those that would listen, to the Pharisees, to the rest of the Jews, to those who have no understanding of the Jewish history, maybe, as he continues to make that bold declaration of, I am. And today we will see what he says to us, looking at John 15 today, reading the first 11 verses there, where Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. May God give us wisdom and understanding this morning as we consider this idea of what it is when Jesus is talking about being the vine, the true vine. So I have a viney plant up there. This is not what Jesus was talking about. I'm not actually the owner of a grapevine, so I have to make do with what I have. But Jesus is painting a picture of a vine and branches and everything. So this is going to help serve as the illustration for what it is that Jesus is trying to get us to see. The first thing is understanding what Jesus is trying to tell us and his disciples about what it means for him to be the vine, to be the true vine. Throughout the history of the people of Israel, there has been this understanding of how God describes his people. The New Testament does the same thing. At times we're called a building. Other times we're called a field. We're a house. There are these different ways that God talks about how we are associated with him. And throughout the history of the people of Israel, there has been the understanding that Israel is God's vine. Psalm 80 talks about that. It says, you brought a vine out of Egypt. It was that sense in where he led a people that had been held captive by their enemies out of there and made them into this. I brought a vine out of Egypt, you drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it. It took deep root and filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches. It sent out branches to the sea and it shoots to the river. You see that he plants this vine in it and it continues to go out in every direction. Hosea 10 verse 1 says, Israel is a luxuriant vine that yields its fruit. Jeremiah 2:21, yet I planted you a choice vine, holy of pure seed. This is, so those two things, a luxuriant vine, a choice vine of pure seed. This is the best vine that you would ever see. God says, I planted that. In referring to his people. These are the covenant-keeping people that he's talking about there. The Galatians brings us to a place where you begin to see the transition a little bit more, referring to who God is talking about and how this goes back to Jesus. Because if God was talking about Israel as the vine, how does this have to do with Jesus? How does he fit into this? Galatians talks about the covenant people of God and the promises that he would continue to make to them. Galatians 3, verse 16 says, the promises were made to Abraham, right? That was Abraham as the father of the covenant people. When Abram heard from God, God's plan for Abram was to make him into a great nation, a large people that would just fill the earth. The promises were made to Abraham and his offspring. Now, you and I would read that as all of those that fall in line with Abraham. And to some degree, that's right. God is beginning to reveal what he means to his people. But it says, it doesn't say into his offsprings, plural, but referring to many, but referring to one, and to your offspring, singular, who is Christ. Christ is the true vine, the true Israel in that sense. And that's where it talks about that at the end of Galatians, where the people of God are referred to as those in Christ that are the Israel of God. And throughout the New Testament, you see this change of what it meant to be the people of God. For the Israelites, it always meant that you were born one. If you weren't born one, you were a Gentile. You were a heathen. You were outside of the covenant promises. But God says, if you are to be my people, it is because you are in Christ. You are connected to him. And it's that idea of being in the vine, connected to the vine. If you are connected to Christ in that way, you are in his family, because Jesus is that true vine of Israel. He is the vine. Matthew and Mark also have parables that talk about that language of a vine and vineyard, and how God has been purposing throughout the history of his people to understand, for his people to understand what this relationship with vine and vineyard and vine dresser, the owner of the vineyard, and who was taking care of things and what happens. And they give evidence of that as well. And Jesus begins to take on, as he has with other things like bread and light and life and all these things and sheep and shepherd, he says, I am the real true version of that. Everything that was being talked about was referring to Jesus. The purpose of the vine then, as with everything else that Jesus has been saying in his I ams, is to bring life. I am the true vine. If you remain connected to the vine, you have real life in you. Because you can't, in a normal way, you can't have, you can't be a vine, a branch of a vine unconnected. Right? I mean, you can't go out to the grape vineyard and start cutting off branches there and expect that they're going to live. We all know you could do that with anything. If you cut the leaves off or the trees, the branches off here, it doesn't take long, and they're not living anymore. What they were connected to is no longer there, and so their life is gone. The purpose then of the vine is, as Jesus has been saying, to bring life. And then Jesus said, my Father, though, his role is as the vine dresser. Now, I have done a little bit with landscaping over the years, and we have house plants and that kind of thing. And there are things that you need to do to keep a healthy plant, right? After the begonias are done here, I don't know if it's true with begonias, but it is with mums, right? When a flower is spent, Mary, what do you do with the flowers once they're spent on your plant? Trim them. Yeah, you pull them off. You have to remove those things. That's a way of tending your plants. And the vine dresser would do that too. There's a way that they would take care of the plants to make sure that they are healthy, growing plants, a healthy, growing vine with its branches. I've heard this statement before, and it just seems to be one of those obvious statements that says healthy things grow. When you have a tree that ceases to be healthy, it gets diseased, the branches become withered, the leaves are being destroyed by different blights or whatever, maybe it's insect infested, and it's no longer healthy, and it doesn't continue to grow in that sense. But healthy things do grow, and that's in large part due to the vine dresser in this instance. The Father is, as the vine dresser, constantly making sure that the branches of the vine bear fruit. That is the purpose of the vine dresser. And you see that throughout the time of God's people too. And it would happen too often where he would have to do things to remove that which was infected and diseased and unhealthy and remove it. And we see that in the sinful behavior of the people as they would go away from God, turning away from him, basically cutting themselves off from God's word and his power, his plan for them, and they would do their own thing. But as they begin to do that, the vine, if you will, would become, or the branches on the vine would become withered, and he would discipline those that would continue to go against him. Sometimes that pruning was so severe in different cases, different times in Israel's history, where it was pruned to the point where, in one sense, only a remnant, one way of saying that, only a remnant of the vine would remain. Other language is used as it got whittled down to just the stump. The pruning process was so severe, so much disease and unhealth and no fruit, that God had to trim back so much of it that it looked as if it wasn't going to survive. But God always had life in the vine itself. And so he would cause it to grow again. He always promised that he was going to do that. He was going to make the plant grow. He gives us some pictures here of what he's talking about. And I wanted to illustrate that. He said, if you are not bearing fruit in an area of your life, he would come in and prune that away and get rid of the things that are no longer living. There's something wrong in that area, and he would remove that and take it aside. And sometimes it keeps happening, and more of it needs to be done. But wonderfully, there's so much here that is healthy and growing and strong. Not much is needed, but where some pruning takes place, that's important, so that it doesn't change anything else. It doesn't create a problem with the rest of the plant. But he also gives this picture of not remaining in the vine. If you don't remain in the vine at all, that's a problem. And so what he might do then is cut off any branch. And if this branch is not connected to the vine, if we had one more outdoor service, what would you expect this to look like next week? Live and healthy? No. It would be showing signs that it is dead. Already now, because it's not connected, it does not have a source of life any longer. So you could say, in that sense, it is already dead. It has been cut off from the vine. This branch no longer will give life. It cannot produce fruit. It will wither and die. And Jesus said, those kinds of branches that don't remain in the vine will be thrown away. They will be collected later, and they will be thrown into the fire. Because you have to be connected to the vine if you want to have real life. That is the purpose of the vine dresser, to make sure that what is remaining there is a healthy plant. All the other stuff is discarded. What amazes me when Jesus is talking about this, he's talking to his disciples. And he says, if you don't remain in me, you're cut off, thrown out, and burned up. And we know what he's talking about there. We are eternally lost then. But there is that sense where the pieces that are here yet, maybe it's not completely healthy, but there's still life there. And so what he does then is gently prunes us, removes those things that need to be taken out of there so that we stay healthy. Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews, talks about this whole process. For the moment, it says in Hebrews 12, all discipline, which is the Father's work of removing that which is not healthy in us, for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. Anybody remember some of those painful discipline days growing up? Yes. I see some of the naughty people here. Nobody likes the discipline in the moment. It's a painful process, as some of us remember the loving discipline that we received. But it had a purpose. Later, it's not pleasant in the time, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those that have been trained by it. The branch is there to give life. The vine is there to give life. The vine dresser is there to make sure that the life is a healthy life. What is the purpose of the branch? It's to bear fruit. That's why he keeps saying over and over and over in here, the purpose is for you to bear fruit. I love the way he keeps bringing that about. Over and over and throughout the New Testament, there's this talk of bearing fruit for him. It's interesting. So the most notable place in the New Testament that talks about the fruit comes much later than the time of Jesus. Paul talks about it. So he's down the road a ways from Jesus and his disciples. But he talks about that back in Galatians again. The fruit, some of the fruit that is being talked about that Jesus wants to see in us are these wonderful lists of qualities, characteristics of ours that resonate with the character and image of the Father and his Son. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, both of those things he mentioned here in this passage, love and joy. There's peace and patience, kindness and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All these kinds of things are the types of things that God wants to see growing in us, to produce them in us, and to have them continuing on in our faithful walk before him. As we consider what it is to be a fruitful Christian, these kinds of things ought to be highly characteristic of us. Did you notice the list that Jesus gave in John 15? He didn't have a list like that. Jesus has already been walking with his disciples and talking with them and leading them and instructing them. And so they have an understanding already of what it is that they are supposed to be and produce as followers of his. He said, though, remain in him. That is of absolute importance, because if you do not remain in Him, you do not have life. In the early present context of Jesus saying that, He knew one that was going to be cut off. One of His own disciples that He has been teaching and training was going to be cut off from the vine. Judas was going to be the first recipient of that illustration that He gives there, in the most severe pruning that there is, completely cut off, because Judas went after his own way, his own plan, his own ideas about what life should be like and how to accomplish what he wanted. Jesus said, remain in him, keep his commandments. He's been saying all along, as we looked at the sheep and the shepherd illustration, the sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Those are the things that we need to do. Everything that he's been doing, that's what his disciples need to do to remain in him. And there's one more thing I believe that we are meant to see as being fruitful people, fruitful disciples of Christ. And this also comes up at different places, but he mentions it here in our text. At verse 7, it says, if you abide in me, if you remain connected to the vine as a branch, and my words remain in you, if you have heard what I have been saying to you, if you know what I desire for you, if you are looking for that abundant life that he was talking about when he was saying, I am the door of the sheep and I give abundant life, if you're in that place, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. You know, a fruitful Christian gets to this place where we know that, as Paul was saying in Ephesians, he has far more abundantly than we even know to ask yet. But the idea is to ask. That's what James, the brother of Jesus, would say. You don't have those things that you want because you're not asking. Jesus has been saying that all along. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. If you remain in me, my words remain in you, and you continue to be fruitful people and realizing that there are at times those things in your life that need to be pulled off because they're not doing any good anymore, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. A mature Christian keeps getting to that place of asking for the things of God, deciding that His way, His plan, His purpose is exactly what we need to be all about in our lives. The character that He wants in us, His very character, is the things that we ought to be asking for. I find myself at times falling short of that character, that Christ-like character. That is the goal, the outcome of all of those that remain in the vine. You won't tell the difference from vine to branches. We will become like Him. At the end, when we see Him as He is, we will be changed in a moment and become like Him. The very character and nature and purpose of Jesus is what's meant to be growing in us. So we should be, as much as this doesn't sound, so we wouldn't do this. Linda and I think we were the naughtiest two. She was first to raise her hand when I said, was anybody ever disciplined? I think she remembers. Would you have ever asked for discipline? No. We would try to escape discipline. And I have, growing up. I tried to, you know the story of the plate that I broke and I hit and all that. I tried to escape discipline at times. I can say that I tried to escape discipline even in my adult life. But as mature Christians, we should get to that place where we recognize the rotten things that are in us yet and ask Him to take that away. Could you remove that from me, please? I'm so tired of dealing with, well, things like these, where Paul, before he talks about the fruit of the Spirit, that life-giving fruit that we are meant to produce, he talks about the things that rob us of life, that are those things that are meant to be discarded and plucked off and pruned away and never be a part of us again. Galatians 5, at verse 19, the works of a fruitful flesh, that which is contrary to God, which is unfruitful in the Spirit, are these things: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of rage, anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies. And it's not the whole list. And he says, and things like these. Things like gossip. Things where we are spiteful. Things like pride, arrogance. All kinds of different things where what's being produced in us is an inward focus. And it's a me mentality. And maybe it's a hostile even towards others. And it's a rejecting of the things of God. You would have to turn your back on God to do these things. And so you're not producing fruit at those times. You can't be pursuing envy, spite, jealousy, gossip, and be producing fruit, which is this way in God's kingdom. And as we mature, we should get to that place where we say, I'm so tired of being a gossip. I'm so tired of being a spiteful person. I'm so tired of the anger that's in me. I'm so tired of... And you already probably have something in your mind. Maybe it's something that has been with you for a long time. And maybe it's not there as much anymore, but it's always there just under the surface. If somebody would scratch the surface of your life, it would probably be visible again. And you just want to get rid of that. And as Christians mature in our faith, we should be asking. We should actually go against the things that we would have done as children because we didn't know better. Now as we grow up in our faith, we realize, I don't want that in my life. I don't want to be a divided person in my us and them mentality kinds of things. I don't want to be given over to anger. All of the different things that you can think of that have been a part of your life, we should not desire that to be there any longer. It's not enough just to not tend to it. We should be asking, as part of that, asking whatever in His name that He would do. And some of that is to make us more mature. Some of it is give us greater influence. That prayer of Jabez that says, I want more area where I can serve. Increase the place where I have influence in my life so that I can serve you more. It's the mission that has been a part of God's eternal plan since the very beginning. When He created all of life, He said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. That is His perfect fruit-bearing follower. From the Garden of Eden, before anything else happened, the idea for the children of God connected to Him was to be fruitful and multiply and keep on increasing. Now, we know what that means. That picture that you have there on the front of your bulletin, be fruitful and multiply. I hope you had enough for breakfast. This kind of thing would make me want to just stop for a moment and start eating. Beautiful cluster of grapes. And everything around it the same way. Every one of those clusters just full and hanging off the vine. And that's the picture that God has given for us from the beginning of His plan to dwell with Him forever, is to be fruitful and multiply. It's the same mission that Jesus gave to His disciples when He said, go into all the world and make disciples and keep teaching them, baptizing them as you go and produce more fruit. Jesus, as He concludes His I Am identities, claims here that He is the true vine. There is nothing else to be connected to that gives you true life. He is the source of lasting eternal life for those that remain connected to Him. But He also paints a picture of the true branch here. As a true disciple of Jesus, I think we're meant to catch this. We are to bear fruit. That's what it says. But that's not all it says. That's not the extent to what it says. Now, we are to bear fruit, and then He prunes us. Why? Did you catch why He prunes us? To bear more fruit. The things He wants to do in us, even those painful things that we know we need to get rid of, that painful discipline experience, He takes those things away so we bear more fruit. And as we continue in Him, as we abide in Him, as our text was saying, and we continue to walk with Him, as He continues to say, follow Me, listen to My voice, and as we trust in Him and follow Him and obey Him, we will bear much fruit. It was a progression that we heard in the picture of those disciples that are connected to the true vine. We are meant to bear fruit. Submit ourselves to the loving, gracious pruning process of the Father, who will then make us bear more fruit. And then as we continue on in life, as we continue to follow in His footsteps, as we continue down the path, as we grow and mature, we're not just like the young vine that puts out one little branch, or being that branch that puts out one little cluster. All of a sudden, as we grow, we have more fruit. And we keep growing and growing and growing in Him, and we have much fruit. And that's the joy that He's talking about. When you have that kind of a plant in your home, you're so excited to see, especially if it's a fruit tree or a fruit vine or something like that, when you see it the first time it puts out some fruit, it's exciting. And the next year when you see it growing, it's got a little bit more there. And so what do you do the next year? You start to pull away those things that are hindering its growth. And it begins to bear more fruit. And time goes by. And you begin to see how all those things that were necessary continue to feed it, to continue to remain in that place, continue to be pruned by the Father. And you bear much fruit. What an exciting time in life that is. When the things in your life are producing much fruit, He said, My joy will be in you. Jesus' joy was that obedience to the Father, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising its shame, and gave His life for you and me. He became obedient all the way to death, even death on a cross. How many of you know that your works will save you? They don't. Nothing you can do will save you. The works that Jesus did is what saves us. And it's the example of Jesus that we continue to follow. We are the ones that follow the master. We are the ones that follow in his footsteps. We are the one that remains in the vine. As he was obedient to his Father, he's asking us of that, asking that of us as well. You need to stay obedient to my commands. Obedience never puts you in the vine. He grafts us in. We are adopted into the vine as those that were outside of him. And then we begin to bear fruit. It's what he does in our lives. Obedience is the fruit of being in the vine. Obedience is that place where the more I walk with Jesus, the more I continue to follow him, the more I continue to trust him, the more fruit I bear, and the more I enjoy what I'm doing. How would you like to be the branch on the vine that has no fruit on it? In a real life situation, if branches were thinking things, and you're the branch that doesn't have any fruit, that's not where you want to be. Because you look around at the rest of the branches, it's like, everybody else seems to be bearing fruit, why am I not? The joy we have is as we continue to bear fruit and more fruit and much fruit, as we continue to see that what Jesus was doing in his day, we need to do in ours as well. He said, I've got more places to go because I need to spread the good news. To turn away from your sin and come into the vine and begin to bear fruit. That's what John said, and Jesus said when they began, John began his ministry leading up into Jesus. John said to those that would come, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. If you want life in Christ, you need to shed the old way and then bear fruit in keeping with that. I don't want the stuff that always weighs me down and pulls me away. I want life in Jesus' name. As we do that, he said, my joy will be in you and your joy will be full. And in that, the Father is glorified. When we bear much fruit, God is glorified. And we have that joy set before us, brothers and sisters, to continue to remain in the vine, continue to allow him to do his work in us, so that we too may be fruitful people in his kingdom. Amen? Amen. Father, we long for that. I want more fruit in my life. Sometimes when I think of the process of more fruit and I realize that you need to cut things out of my life, I resist that because I think those have some value in life. And really, the only thing that they have value for at all is just for a moment, maybe. But even then, those things tend to distract us from what is real and true, the real joy, the real fruit we are supposed to have in our lives. So while the pruning process is a difficult one, Father, we submit ourselves to you so that you would do that. We all, as true branches in the true vine, want you to prune away those areas in our life. That's why in this story that you've reminded us of today, so much of it was said in the negative, if you don't do this, if you don't do that, and it should just grow within us, Father, that desire that I do want those things. I do want to bear fruit. I want more and much fruit. And I don't want those things in my life that are the rotten, diseased parts of me that only hinder my walk. So, Father, work in me. Work in us so that we too prove to be your disciples by being obedient followers of Jesus Christ and bearing much fruit. May it be so according to your command in our lives, your desire for us in your kingdom, and may it cause your kingdom to prosper and advance through us, your willing servants. In Jesus' name, amen.